We can go down and sit in the living car. They put me on classical music channels, pop music, rock music, every kind of radio station.
Suji, last time...
Things are moving in this world, and do I have any specific answers or solutions to any of those things? which you raised, my answer is no. I have opinions on everything in this world, from disease to divinity. And she says, the only thing I can do is to focus and spotlight what is the basic thing that we are confronting today in this world. All those phrases that they are using, whether they are the religious people or politicians or economists, psychologists, scientists and doctors, they are all empty words and empty phrases. They are all very clever people. And I don't like the word concept, you see. The word concept makes it very difficult for us to look at things exactly the way they are. What all I can do is to focus and spotlight what really is the problem. If you look back to our history, you are very certain that nothing has changed in the decades that we have lived through. I give you the example of the First World War. They waged the war to make the world safe for democracy. What happened? It gave birth to communism, fascism, Nazism, and all and every kind of isms. And it did not free the world from wars. And the Second World War, they all talked of making the world for safe for democracy. I really don't know what exactly the people mean when they talk of democracy. Personally, I do not believe in democracy at all. And those who talk of democracy and try to impose what they call democracy on other nations are probably practicing democracy at home. And what we see in the world around and outside of those nations who claim that they are democratic nations, we find that it is democracy that we find today. You see, I don't know. There may be democracy at home, but the expression of so-called democracy outside of those nations who always talk of democratic institutions, and the absence of democracy in other countries resulted only in democracy, not democracy, but demonocracy of every shade, shape and color. You know, you may say that I am a cynic, but a cynic's feet are very firmly fixed on the ground. He is not swayed by any of these concepts, fantasies that these people are talking about. You talk of human rights. Do they have the human rights in those countries which are forcing other countries to follow what they call the human rights? As I see, as one who has been everywhere in every part of the world, can say that their preachings have no foundation at all. They themselves do not practice what they are talking about. I don't know if I make myself clear.
I can put in different words what you have said.
Yeah.
And I think
you must help me to bring out something.
Yes.
You see.
And this much I have noted also.
Yes.
Can I say in different words? Because your answer will be more specific. I put you counter question.
All right.
After Second World War, democracy, democratic institutions, and human rights, and market forces, all these words were used by United States and other West European countries. The institutions were simply against imperialism. To see new era should be end of imperialism, and the people's right of choosing the type of government should go to people.
Yeah, but one thing we don't realize is that after the collapse of all the empires, we may not like to use the word fascism, imperialism, and all those words which we condemned and waged the war to save the world from such institutions have been imposed on other nations in a different guise. They may not like, the Americans are the worst imperialistic nation in the world. It all depends upon how you define the word imperialism. I always maintain why a nation that has only 250 million people should exploit the resources of the world and consume 26% or 25% of the world's resources over and above what their resources can give them. I don't know if I make myself clear. You see, many people who hear me talk in this strain ask me this question, why you are writing off the United States? You know, you see, it's not a question of writing off the United States, but I have a feeling that they are all empty words. You see, the same old ideas. The whole thing is economic. No matter, you see, what you say, you can divide them into political institutions, economic institutions, religious things, scientific thinking, all and every kind, but basically, essentially, and fundamentally, it is the economic issues that are involved in our dealings with one another, from one nation to another nation. I don't know if it makes any sense.
I will do like that.
Yeah.
What you have said, I also feel like that. The people may interpret you that you are talking something against North America or West European countries. But I can summarize like that. What you see, even after the end of imperialism, especially during Second World War and after Second World War, we found revolution in technology, science and technology. Resources increase, multiplied like anything, in food, consumption, communication, everywhere, energy. And those countries which were talking about democracy against communism and against fascism, because this victory of the Second World War was against fascism. And victory was by democratic countries in alliance with communist state of Russia. What I say, you are not criticizing like that Western countries or West European countries. What you are saying, essentially, even after the end of Second World War, even after the end of imperialism, economic factors are guiding North America and Western Europe, and all economic and political institutions are created around economic interest. So all efforts of United Nations to provide global support or cooperation to developing countries, that is not giving fruits to the people. Another thing, what I am telling you, we oppose fascism, and North America and West European countries oppose communism also, because democracy was denied. But I feel that purpose of fight against fascism and communism is lost after North American and West European countries. As you have rightly said, they are allowing their people to consume a good percentage of production and progress to the people of their countries only, and not to millions of people of Africa, Latin America and Asia Pacific. Another thing which has come, in the garb of democracy, you are not going to support third world countries or countries of Africa, Latin America and Asia Pacific, which are developing countries, if they are behaving in a very repressive way. What is your view about national governments of developing countries which are not functioning democratically, and they are relying more and more on military force, police, and they are misappropriating regional wealth for their own welfare?
It is very difficult for me to give specific answers to the specific questions you are raising, you see, because I really don't have any answers to the questions which you raise. And second thing is that I'm not competent enough to throw any particular light on any of the fields we are involved in. I don't know if it makes clear. As I see it, that for centuries these so-called Western nations, democratic nations, have been exploiting the whole world. The whole geographical situations may have changed. When once, you see, the threat to their institutions, like democracy, is not there anymore, to stop them in their tracks, they would not hesitate to blackmail and bully all the other nations in the name of democracy, in the name of four freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom of what is the fourth one, you know. So all these freedoms they are talking about is a sham mockery. Whatever they have accomplished and attained through the help of technology, that has not percolated, if I may use that high-sounding word, to the level of the common man.
Time magazine says you see a sophisticated, increasingly affluent world currently coexists with a marginalized global underclass.
The same thing.
But there is the voice of Mr. Clinton which I must play to you.
Yeah.
Clinton sought to articulate the brighter prospects in a recent statement to world economic leaders as, this is the voice of Birlaji, this is the voice of Mr. Clinton. Today, as never before, we can see the extraordinary possibilities that lie before us in the 21st century. It promises to be an era in which free people working across open borders will have a chance to create growing prosperity and economic security, to fulfill their God-given potential and their dreams as never before in human history. What the journalist goes on to say is, what is certain is that even if America's power is diminished as compared to the immediate post-war era, the US still exercises more influence than any other country over the world economy. Like it or not, as the millennium approaches, it is still up to America to lead and to lead in the right direction.
That
seems to be saying that America, though now cut down to its size by the recent events, still seems to be, unfortunately, in the position to steer the history of the world.
Yeah, if they don't voluntarily and gracefully give up their domination over all the nations so far, we have no way of forcing them to do it yet.
But you think there will be a way?
There will come a time when all the might they have, which they are of course using it, using all those empty words and empty phrases. It's nothing but a sham mockery, all those phrases, written by one fellow who is preparing all the speeches for him.
This is part of the American propaganda?
The American propaganda.
Really?
American propaganda. I'm not against America. I have spent more years in the United States than anywhere in this world.
This is the voice of that affluent class.
That is all right. You see, that's probably the way they want the things to be. But are we in a position to stop them in their tracks? You see, Russia has been totally and completely destroyed because the Joker handed over in a gold platter what these mighty nations failed to achieve. And what is the result there? It is a beggar nation today. I am not interested in either communism or democracy or any of these political ideologies, because they are all empty words and empty phrases as I am concerned. they are using those phrases to fool themselves and fool everybody. Do you understand? So, the only thing that they will understand is force. Nothing else, you see, makes them see and understand that these people are one day going to have force to stop them in their tracks. You know, as long as it is possible for them to get away with it, they are going to do it. Are we in a position to stop them in their tracks? Do we have the means to stop them? They are not going to listen to your stories. They are not going to listen to your words. You see, what matters them to them is that they must still continue to exploit the whole world they have been exploiting for these 2 centuries. Are they going to give up? All these are empty phrases. They don't mean a damn thing to the man who is there in the streets. All these scientific achievements you are talking about doesn't percolate to the level of the common man. He's not interested in all these empty phrases. He's interested in basic things, food, clothing and shelter.
Yuji, one thing I may just ask you.
Yes, sir.
What Mr. Maheshwar has asked you, and he has quoted Clinton's speech or...
Yes, yeah. The Clinton's words.
Towards this social development conference in Copenhagen. And this is American view. And I can say it is a North American and West European view also. I see history of 10 years last, especially after the diminishing of the influence of Russia and communist world. That threat of suicidal approach by developing countries, as it was done by Saddam Hussein, it was repeated by North Korea by threatening United States, if you don't provide us all technology of nuclear energy, then we will continue our nuclear armaments program.
Yeah.
And America agreed due to threat to provide all such support. And still, I feel political scientists and politicians in America and West Europe, they are having 2 or 3 issues only before them. Number one, the increasing economic power of Japan. Number two, the increasing military power of 2 or 3 developing countries. Number three, the increasing economic strength and human resource strength of China.
Yeah, but how are you going to meet that challenge? Do we have the means to do it? And how are you going to acquire these means? And what kind of, you see, means you will have to acquire to stop them in their tracks and share everything, you see, that this planet has equally? I'm not saying for a moment that classless society is possible in this world. There isn't going to be a classless society in this world at all. The communists tried it and totally failed. There isn't going to be any classless society. There isn't going to be any free society. Ultimately, the whole thing boils down to one basic thing: the exploitation of the natural resources of this world to their advantage at the expense of other nations. There is no way you can make them see the absurdity of what they are doing. All these are empty words and empty phrases. They will use anything to fool us all.
The World Bank has been projecting that Indonesia, China and India will be major economic forces by
do you believe
in 20 years from now.
What makes you think that India...
The projections by this very well...
They are like you see the predictions of an astrologer. That's all.
Can you put them on the same level?
On a lower level. Then the astrologer is predicting the future of the individuals.
What Mr. Vaisinghe is saying, and there is no denial about that, I think what he's saying, I may like to repeat the same.
Yes.
There is a scientific...
What is so scientific about their statements that they are...
What Mr. Vaisinghe is saying.
I mean, there are...
What is the scientific...
On the basis of the economic...
Is there that Japan, Indonesia,
sir,
Korea
that
will emerge as a big economic power.
It is not in their interest to achieve that goal. They are just talking. Where is the guarantee that they will continue to be the toadies of these powerful nations? What makes you think that is going to be a fact? What will happen after 30 years, nobody knows. As I see it, India has no chance of any kind to play any role effectively in the affairs of the world.
Coming years, no possible.
As I see it. And what makes it impossible for this country is the stranglehold of the religious thinking on the part of the millions of people. You know? Mm-hmm. It's not going to disappear. At all.
I would like to comfort myself that
you can compare
the, World Bank seems to predict that India will be a very major force by the next century.
And you swallow that?
I mean, I would like to believe that. It's kind of, as you say, a prediction made by an astrologer.
And you and I will not be there after 40 or 50 years.
What you say, can we not put together your views or a sensible views of myself and Mr. Mahesh Bhatt? In other words, that why not we approach people of this world for elimination of armaments, for elimination of military and police force, more freedoms, equalities. I'm not going to fight democracy and fascism and communism. More democracy, more freedoms, more elimination of all controls, because I think you will agree with us. The controls are not good thing, because we were having before socialist system,
socialist pattern of society.
Nehru
talked
all. Nehru talked all such nonsense.
And what a mockery it was.
Yeah.
And what is the result of it all?
Yes.
Where are we today?
And similarly, I will come to that area also of social institutions also. But now I want to finish this political institutions and national alliance and national patterns. Don't you think that if we take, what you say, if we people should call for elimination of all armaments, we should call for sharing of the economic power, we should share our economic and technological advancement of the world, we should have more active role of United Nations, we should have more democratic regional representation in United Nations. I'm talking the 5-6 things without covering democracy and human rights. What you say, will it not be sufficient if we say about international affairs, if we should follow these things, only then we can have prosperity in the world?
I'm afraid it is just daydreaming and it is not going to happen. A mutual friend of Bertrand Russell and I brought us together. Those were the days when he was carrying a propaganda against the hydrogen bomb, you know. And I asked him one question. I am asking you one basic question. Are you going to do away with the policeman? You understand?
Yes.
And hydrogen bomb is an extension of the police. So we have to draw this line somewhere and separate these two things, the policeman and the hydrogen bomb. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in what you are doing, because first of all, you must do away with the policeman. You are not going to do it. That's why I say I am a thief. I have stolen everything that belongs to everybody on this planet, and I need a policeman to protect what I have stolen. You know? I am not ready to accept that I am a thief and call everybody a thief. So he has become a very rich man now. From the lower middle class, he jumped into the top rich people. Is he ready to part with what he has acquired through any means he adopted? Fair, foul, it really doesn't matter. Is he ready to part with it? He's not ready to part with it. He wants richer people to part with what they have grabbed for themselves. This is the basic issue that we have to deal with. That we are going to achieve this dream of doing away with the police, doing away with the nuclear weapons. It's not going to happen. They can force us to sign pacts saying that they will not produce nuclear weapons anymore. What are they doing? They are still carrying on experiments there, these nations, nuclear powers. And they are not ready to destroy their weapons. But how do you think this dream will become a reality?
You think that even after Second World War, even after so much democracy, democratization, even after officers in masses for realizing human rights, the United States and other countries, you can call developed countries, are acting like policemen, and they want to govern whole world as a policeman, ignoring United Nations sanctions or misusing United Nations. What do you say?
First of all, you must abolish the United Nations. What kind of a voice all these underdeveloped nations have? Can India, can Indonesia, can Korea veto the resolutions they pass to attack a small country like Somalia or Grenada? Do you have any voice there? Are we ready to do away with the United Nations? The United Nations has become a very powerful instrument for them to use and exploit the whole world. No?
There is a report here.
Sir, don't forget about what.
Very interesting. See, there is the International Commission on Global Governance.
We are not politicians, we are not scientists.
A group of 28 eminent independent experts who reported the future of the world.
They met in Delhi yesterday.
They said something interesting. Said globalization is in danger of widening the gap between the rich and the poor.
Same thing.
This is a sophisticated, increasingly affluent world currently coexists with the world alone. Roughly 30% of the world workforce, some 820 million people, is unemployed or underemployed. The highest ratio since the Great Depression of 1930s. According to the International Labour Organization. That means you're moving, hurtling towards further and further.
I will come to one thing.
Yes, sir.
Which I have already given to 120 countries in Hyderabad, we decided. And what Mr. Maheshwar has also said, for realizing that social development in the world, what we have to do, and I think you have said in different words, that economic and social condition which should be promoted towards greater social and political stability. This will contribute to stemming the flow of refugees, internally displaced persons, migrants, diminishing ethnic, religious and nationalist tensions, preventing conflict and war, and reducing the need for humanitarian assistance and peacekeeping missions. What do you say about this?
There is no point in...
After creating economic and social conditions, can we realize these things?
You may say that I am a pessimist, that I am cynical, but that is not going to happen at all. For the simple reason that the gap that is becoming wider and wider is bound to be there and will become wider and wider as the years go.
That seems to be the trend.
Then another thing,
so how are you going to stop it? You see, what kind of the only thing that they can understand and they will understand is the counter force.
But you see,
nothing else. All this talk is empty talk.
How can you give? How can you? That resentment that I feel as a have-not, and I see in my area somebody is very affluent.
Let's not use those words, haves and have-nots.
How will I implement my threat?
Are you going to part with what you have acquired?
No.
By foul means?
No, I will not.
You are not ready. And why you are talking in general terms? Why do you expect the United States to give up?
What I am saying is what is mine is mine. What is yours is also mine.
Yes, certainly. You see, they want us, people living in the slums, to give up everything you have. And one fellow there has two parts, and he's not ready to part with one part to help his neighbor there.
So what are you saying? The human nature doesn't want to part with
him. Don't talk of human nature and all that kind of a thing. This is good for a schoolboy's discussion.
So what do you want
to do? Politicians and scientists gather together and dish out these empty phrases, that's all.
Then you mean to say, Yuji, that we don't have any solution to the welfare or the peace in this world immediately, and no...
Not only immediately, never.
Then you think this
world... I am not a pessimist.
You think that this world is made for collapse only or for destruction only?
I think it has gone too far, and there is no way you can reverse the way the whole thing is moving.
You think
it's
still after...
We get enough evidence that all technological leaps we are making is furthering, pushing it further.
They are...
It doesn't seem to be arresting or stopping things.
No. Not at all.
Because at one place we find out.
Whatever they are doing
is accelerating.
Is not only accelerating, you cannot stop it because you are involved in that. You are the beneficiary. You are the beneficiary. That's why I say the middle class people must be eliminated. Even then there will be two types, the rich and the poor. The poor will become poorer and poorer. The rich will become richer and richer.
You agree with the mass people? Yeah, just a minute. You agree when you talk, because I heard you talking about middle class and they got benefits. I think you go very close to Marxist approach, which says this middle class is bourgeois class and it is always collaborating ruling class.
No, that's all. I have never been an admirer of Karl Marx, although I read that book. And I followed the course of events in Russia and other communist countries.
You're an admirer of Mao Zedong.
No, let's not talk about it that now. You see, but what I am pointing out that it is just not possible to create a classless society. It is not possible to create a stateless state at all. We have seen it happen in our own time. Huh? This is easy to put that label on me and call me a communist or you say a follower of this system or that system. That's the way, easy way for you. I am not interested in winning you over to my point of view. All right. In all the interviews that I give to the TV people and radio people and journalists, newspapers in the whole world, and I meet scientists, psychologists, philosophers, politicians, name it. I have lived with sages, saints, saviors of mankind, the murderers, the rapists, the con men, the thieves. You see, I know, I have been around, I have seen the whole world. I am not impressed by all this talk at all. As long as there is a single person on this planet who does not have the basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, I am not impressed by anything these people say. You can produce statistical evidence that we are moving in this direction towards, you see, a happier society and everybody will be fed. How long do you want us to wait for that kind of a thing? In India, they accomplished this feat of keeping those people, the starving people, to make, you see, a virtue of their starvation and their misery by telling them that they did something terrible in their past life and that they have to make a virtue of their sufferings in this life. And in their next life, they will have everything plenty. Very clever people here in India. Very clever people.
Is it a bomb that has worked or it's a drug which has destroyed it?
What bomb?
This particular concept that you did this in your past life.
Yes.
And that is why you should bear this burden. And that you will be rewarded if you do it gracefully in this life. Is it a kind of a philosophy which has worked as a balm and succeeded in nursing them? Or is it a drug which is preventing them from doing what they should be really be doing?
None of those words apply to the situation they find themselves in today. That is the cleverest way of keeping people there, in their poverty, without the basic things, food, clothing and shelter.
And they unshackle themselves.
And asking them to make a virtue of that. Tomorrow, in your next life, 40 years India has been free, and why there are 40 million people underfed?
100 million,
I don't know. I don't even read the newspapers, I don't watch any of those.
But is there a possibility of them unshackling themselves?
Are you interested in creating that kind of a world individually? That's all that I'm asking. I'm not talking to the politicians, scientists, and the journalists. They always say that is your point of view. All right, buddy, what about yours? Yours also is a point of view. And why do you call this a point of view? Can there be any meaningful conversation between these two points of view? You may be more intelligent than I am. You think you are more logical than I am. You try to impress me that you are more rational than I am. But basically, essentially, the fact is that you are trying those silly things called logic, rationality, and your cleverness, which is not really cleverness, you know, to impress me. I am not interested in winning you over to my point of view, and you have no way of winning me over to your point of view. Why the hell we are carrying on this conversation? I am not referring to you. What is the point in all of you throwing all those empty phrases, reading pieces from the Time magazine, which perhaps has the widest circulation? How is it going to help the people who are starving. I am not on the side of the starving people. I know the people always ask me, what is it that you are doing? They ask me. Individually, there isn't a damn thing that anybody can do. Right? You can force me to stop saying those things, calling me this, that and the other. And you can even go to the extent of planting some drugs in my room and get the policeman to get me. You understand? I bring some bouncer and some gun and point it towards me and tell me not to say those things. Individually, there isn't a damn thing that you can do. It is not that I'm a pessimist or any such thing. And secondly, you don't realize that collective means you become the enemy of you, not only the state, those people who have entrenched themselves in the power and those who do not want to lose their power, individuals like you,
will fight you.
Consider me a threat, a terrorist, you put all kinds of labels on me and you try to destroy me. You understand? Collectively, no chance. Individually, there isn't a damn thing that you can do. Terrorists. Why we are condemning terrorists today? You know. You are familiar with the history of Israel. I am not anti-Semitic. I am not pro-Russian, pro-American, pro-Chinese. None of those labels you can put on me. But I am trying to point out that the moment you find yourself in the seat of power, all the others become your enemies. Take for example Israel. The present prime minister and his predecessor Begin, they were terrorists and they blew up five-star hotel. Anybody that threatens their position becomes a terrorist today. I'm not a politician. I'm just observing these things. These are my observations. Brush them aside and say, oh, he's a cynic. What right he has to express opinions on everything from disease to divinity. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. Arafat will become the worst enemy.
So the scientific breakthrough.
And I can say this without any fear or favor, that Mandela will become the enemy of that country. He will do exactly the same things that they did, which put him there in prison for 30 years. I am not a prophet.
What will make him do that is power.
Power. When once you are in the seat of power.
So it's a catch-22 situation. You need power to
no,
make
you
things
don't need
happen. And when you're in the seat of power, you become important.
No, not important.
The power is not necessary for eliminating poverty and other things. What he's saying, whether it is a Mandela or white government, when power comes, then Mandela will also do the same.
Exactly the same thing. They are already doing it. So what is the answer? What is the solution? Is there any way?
So that is why you say, when anybody comes into power, shoot him.
No, but I don't mean it when people ask me, why you don't shoot them? I'm not interested in taking their place. Even if you kill that fellow, the deputy prime minister is there, ready to step into his shoes. Ready, he's there. And I know I can't get into the seat of power. And I don't want my rival to get into the seat of power. So I bring the third man and put him there. That was how, you see, all the prime ministers in the recent times found themselves in the seat of power. When once you are there in the seat of power, you want to share that power with somebody else. You see, since I can't be there, I'll be happy and content with the deputy prime minister or vice president or this or the other. No, I'm not presenting a very gloomy picture at all. That's the way the things are. What is it that you can do?
Yuji, now we go forward.
Yes, all right.
What I understand, I'm not asking question, but I'm simply coming to next question, which
yes.
is very relevant. After hearing you, what you have spoken, you think that power, political institutions, political leaders, they are not meant for doing something good for the people?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not
next
at
thing,
all.
Yeah. Next thing you say, there is a lot of exploitation by developed countries and these developing countries. Next thing, what you said, that it is not something which should be done by leaders or something. What individual is doing also, you have spoken like that. Now I come to the question relating to individual. Because last one century, we see political institutions are there. Sometimes social institutions and political institutions react to each other. And we found the political institutions like democracy, imperialism, communism, and now economic and political institutions like free market economy. Even China is calling itself as a socialist market economy.
Yes.
Now, after having this Copenhagen declaration today, they have talked about social integration. Social integration, when they talk, they are saying even after so much prosperity, even after so much technological changes, even after growth in world economy and consumption in the world of the people, disparity is there. I'm not touching again the same thing you already answered. They find that institutions have become obsolete. Now I'm coming to those institutions. I'm coming to the institution of nation. It is political, but it has relation with the social institutions also. Because people say nation means relation to family institution, in relation to marriage institution, in relation to peace between one religious community, one religious society. I'm not talking community. Community is a very broad word. Religious society and another religious society. What you say, how these social institutions are affecting individual, because you have come now to this conclusion, not conclusion, you have indicated the individual means something.
But is there any individuality? Everything I say, everything I feel, everything I experience, everything I believe is put in there in the computer. Whether the religion has done it or political institutions have done it, it doesn't really make any difference. I don't know if I make myself clear. If you look at the history, the church dominated and exploited the people for centuries. They talked of love thy neighbor as thyself and used that and destroyed how many, killed how many thousands and thousands of people in the name of love thy neighbor as thyself. And then when the monarchy took over, what happened? Exactly the same thing. And then they finished with the monarchy and the political institutions stepped in and they are doing exactly the same thing.
Think that social tension or social peace or social integration, I'm again coming to or making more specific. These three factors are very relevant for making social violence or social disturbance.
I don't know, this is all too much for me. Social institutions, social this, social that, I really don't understand what they actually mean, what you actually mean.
Because I feel if you remove society or social, then individual is nothing but a mechanical product only.
No, that is what I am saying. Individual is, you see, a machine.
I am coming to that
one. Yeah, it's a computer with an extraordinary innate intelligence of its own. This organism does not want to learn anything and know anything from anybody, whether he is a doctor or a psychologist or a scientist or a religious man. It is not interested in that at all.
Then why people are so crazy about one religion or their religion, number one? Why people are crazy about keeping intact the institution of church like Catholics are opposing abortion in America and in all throughout the world? Why Hindus and Muslims in South Asia are fighting because they say certain symbol of religion is more important than life of the people?
Why is it so?
Because you are just talking about
the unity of India is more important than anything else here, and in the name of one country, one nation, you are killing hundreds and thousands of people. Why you are doing that? And why, you see, somebody should kill a doctor there in the United States who aborted a woman, the baby, for whatever reason she wanted to